It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
His Worship the Mayor, Phil Goff. Phil, how are you?
I'm very good, thanks, Mikey. I was just saying to Sarah on the phone before, the weather is crap, but it's really good when you're back at work and you look out the window and you think, hey, I'm missing nothing out there.
Still motorcycling to work?
No. I came in by car today because I'm back wearing a suit. Oh, I know, it's terrible. And, you know, suit on a motorbike, oil off the chain, you know, yeah. Rubbish off the road.
I hear you, rain. Brother. I hear you.
Yeah. That's the downside of biking, but there you go.
What's top of the list?
Oh, well, hey, I've got to say, last night I went to a world premiere movie in the Civic Theatre, so a world premiere theatre.
Wasn't invited. What was it?
I can't understand that, Mikey. It's called Hibiscus and Ruthless. It's Auckland-based, Auckland-produced by the writer-director's a guy called Stallone Vaianga Uasa and his sister Dinah, and... It's in the genre of Sione's Wedding, Number Two, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah,
and
cool.
They produced another movie. They had a grossed over $1 million called Three Wise Cousins. So Kiwi Samoan, big audience, rapturous response from the audience, and it's a comedy, but it's great. It's filmed in my old electorate of Mount Roskill and up at the Auckland University, and for a whole lot of Pacifica kids out there, you know, it's affirming for them to see their culture and their sense of humour on the big screen, but really good response from the audience. I think it'll do well, and great to have movies made in Auckland and promoting Auckland and promoting our local cultures and our diversity.
Where are we at with that sort of thing at the moment, as far as perks and benefits and perks, and how much time do you have to spend trying to coerce people to come and to use our beautiful facilities and our hot talent
Well, the talent
real estate, I suppose.
Yeah, the talent was really hot. There was a young woman who was on her first movie out of acting school, Anna Marie Thomas, and another young lady called Suivai Atangavaya, who were the two lead actors in it, and they were both fantastic.
Cool.
But these guys made the movie on a shoestring.
I mean, they don't get any money from
the Film Commission or anybody else. You know, we try to give them a bit of a boost through the council, but it's largely non-monetary. These guys, they do it on a shoestring, and they gross $1 million from their film. And that's good. And, you know, I got to say, I always enjoy sitting in the Civic, great theatre, but I enjoyed just watching the scenes of Auckland and a story about ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
It's largely a comedy, and it's a pretty simple story. The young woman who's solo mum says no going out, no boyfriends, you know, even
oh, so it's, doing, so it's like doing, a, like a Pacifican Footloose.
Yeah, something like that. It was good. And, you know, I love to see, you know, the film industry in Auckland is quite big, a big turnover. You know, we've got the facilities out West Auckland. We might have new facilities in South Auckland, plans for studios out that way. It's a great industry for us to get into. It's a big turn. This is a shoestring film budget, but other movies that are being made by groups outside of New Zealand, they spend a hell of a lot of money on costuming, on props and all of that sort of thing. So the money goes right across the community. So the more we can get that, the better.
Excellent. Now, speaking of the community, speaking of Hibiscus, you're making the big trip to the Hibiscus Coast. To visit the storm-battered Hibiscus Coast.
Yeah, well, it's...
That makes it sound quite... It's pretty nice up in Whangaroa.
But they
took a bit of a beating with that storm, didn't they?
Yeah, well, the whole of Auckland did. Last week, I did Half Moon Bay and Eastern Beach, which had taken a thrashing. I'd done Kawakawa Bay the week before because that was on my way into town from where we've got our batch. And at Stanmore Bay and Orewa, they're both... There was a lot of sand. You know, the coastal margins are sometimes reclaimed. The sand dunes, they get washed away pretty easily. So I got invited up by the local board. We had a look. We took our coastal specialist up. I'm going to probably do the same thing at the end of next week out in the south of Auckland. We got a big problem because the problem is with climate change and rising sea levels. We keep getting these, we'll be getting more and more of these king tides. And when you get a king tide together with a surge from a storm, by God, the power of the water, it just eats into your coastline.
Yeah.
It can threaten property. Largely it's threatening reserves at the moment and walkways. Sometimes you can do seawalls, but you don't want to have seawalls all over the place.
Yeah, I was down at Tamaki Drive yesterday, and I was just remembering the photo I saw, a news article I saw during those king tides where the water would come up and over and into the front yard and fairly deep of some of those houses there. And, you know, it looks good as new now, but it was only just a couple of weeks ago. You know?
We're going to, through Auckland Transport, we're going to lift the level of Tamaki Drive because it is so prone to king tides that, we keep closing the roads and it's a threat to the property. So
it's a fine line, though, isn't it? Because, I mean, you lift that sort of seawall any higher and it's going to start... Can start cutting out a lot of the gorgeousness.
Yeah. Well, you can't do it everywhere. You can do it in some of the prone areas, but you're going to put a huge seawall that blocks access to the beach, and you don't want to do that. So we've got people that are pretty skilled in marine engineering and seawalls and coastal environment.
Is this something that's a cost that was always on the books anyway, or is this something that's as a result of what's happened in the last couple of weeks, you've had to bump up the list a wee bit.
Yeah, it won't be a huge cost, but you're probably talking it'll run into.
Was it already on the books anyway, or not?
It was not on the books because you can't plan for an event like that.
Yeah.
So who suffers?
So where's that money get to?
We budget to take into account that there are unforeseeable events that you've got to
respond.
A bit of wriggle room in it. It is a cost, but it's a necessary cost, and everybody understands that.
Yep. And all right. So you've made it quite clear this week too, which Auckland Mayor Phil Goff wants people who dump rubbish to be punished.
I
get really angry about it, the way people treat their urban environment, says Goff. Well, good job. That's your job. You're the mayor.
I'm putting something out this afternoon. I'm having a meeting with our waste solutions people. If I can use a French word, I'm really pissed off about the irresponsibility.
Well, and you swore twice in your quote. People dumping stuff on the side of the road because they're too bloody lazy or too bloody tight to pay the cost of disposal property.
Let me give you an example. The two areas that suffer most are the rural fringe of the city, because people go just out of the city and they think they can dump it, and it's fine for them to dump in the rural areas, and also the business and commercial areas, particularly the industrial areas around Wiri. And I spent a bit of time last week looking at it. But the worst example, there were about 8 or 9 44-gallon oil drums filled with oil filters, used oil filters, that were dumped on the side of the road, and the contents spewing out over the ground, the oil coming out of it. The good news is I've got the labelling off the barrels. I've referred it to Waste Solutions.
Aha!
We'll track it down to the manufacturers. We'll find out who the manufacturers sent that barrel to and try to find the culprits. And we won't just find them. We will prosecute them. That means that they will be faced with a monetary penalty of up to $30,000. And we'll name and shame them.
I've got 28 oil drums on the stats I've got in front of me now, which is horrific. Because I
don't know whether it's. It could be simply a garage that's doing it.
Right.
Because it's commercial. You don't have that many oil filters if you're just doing it in your backyard.
Exactly.
Or what might be just as likely, they might have contracted to somebody, and the person they contracted to take it away thought, well, we're not going to go to the transfer station or whatever, and pay the cost here. We'll just dump it on the side. But they're pretty dumb. they're pretty dumb, because we have to have a pretty good chance of tracking these people down. And when we do, I want them prosecuted. We're referring it to the police, so it will become a court matter. They'll be up in front of a court, and I hope the book gets thrown at them if we can catch them.
Because I think you were saying in an interview you did regarding this problem, that with 28 oil drums, that leaches into the water, or has the potential to leach into the water. So
oh yeah, well it's stuff all over the place. Where they dumped it out our way, it wasn't near a water supply. But I'll put the pictures up on Facebook this afternoon, and you just see the oil spewing out of these used oil filters all over the ground, and you see all of the other rubbish. This is a side park area off the main road, Ardmore Takanini, where the council usually stores its loose metal for road repairs. And so all of these creeps come out and think, oh, we'll just dump our rubbish here. So not only do they damage the environment, but we're spending over $1 million a year cleaning this up. So these people who are too lousy to go to a transfer station to pay for, you know, putting a trailer load of rubbish through the transfer station, are quite happy to see three times that cost incurred by other ratepayers, right, through the council. So, you know, I'm into the zero tolerance mode in this. I am really hacked off, and it's not new. They've been doing it for years, but we've had a bit of a surge in the last year on the latest figures I've seen, and I want to see some prosecutions so we can send the message out there to people that are doing this, that this isn't cost free to them.
Well, I'm just wondering, those 28, those barrels that you found there, I mean, you said they were out near you. You've obviously saw them, you found them yourself. What about if people have got stuff dumped near their house? How do they call the council?
There's an 0800 number, 0800 in the bin, I think it is, is the number that you can ring. And people, there's two things people can do to help us on this. One, obviously, if they see people dumping, number plates, a photo, whatever evidence they can pass on to us, we will follow up on it. And the second thing is, they need to notify us so that our waste solutions people know, and we can pick the rubbish up reasonably promptly. What they do is they send out their investigation team first. They'll go through all the rubbish. They'll look for things like envelopes or receipts or whatever we can find. We'll try to get the prosecution. I'm thinking of using closed circuit TV camera in some of the repeat dump areas, but we've got to get the quality of film that can give us an identifier. Yeah. And of course, most people dump at night, and it's harder to get the identification in that way. But anything the public can do to work in with us, so we can hammer these bastards, the better. I'm really keen on coming down hard on them.
What about people that have been trumping, galumphing through the Waitakere's after we've all been so, you know, careful to steer clear and so the Kauri dieback disease doesn't spread?
Yeah, well, look, you know, it's easy enough. Where we've got the hygiene stations, you know, I go walking in a number of areas in the Hunuas and up around Clevedon. You've got the hygiene station there. You clean your shoes before you go in. There's a spray, a liquid detergent spray. It takes you 1 minute. And for people to walk past the hygiene station and say, that doesn't apply to me, that's pretty irresponsible as well. You know, our kauri are the iconic tree of New Zealand. And, you know, when this disease has been spreading at a hell of a rate, it's moved from 5% to 20% of the trees in the Waitakere's. Fortunately, hasn't got out to the south yet, but there is that constant risk. It is largely foot. It's mud on boots that transfers the disease. What we're going to do is we're going to close off the tracks that are most at risk. We don't want to close off everything. And the reason for that is, if you close off everything, you just can't enforce it. And if you close off everything, you can't leave a hygiene station in there, say, here's the hygiene station, but by the way, you can't walk through it. So if you're going to close it, you take away the hygiene stations. And the people that still want to do their own thing going down a bush track will do it anyway. So we're trying to limit the number of tracks, improve the quality of our hygiene stations, improve the quality of our tracks so that we've got platforms rather than people walking through the mud, and we're going to be investing a serious amount of money into trying to stop the spread of kiwi dieback.
Just back to the rubbish thing, we've had a couple of text messages come in saying that, Phil, you beaut, dumping happens so freaking much. My poor Glen Eden tennis club.
Yeah.
Gets owned all the bloody time, to use one of your terms there.
Yeah, yeah, it's wherever there's a space where people think they can get away with it, and you know, we're not talking about a whole lot of people, we're talking about a minority of people. But I think, I've got the figures here somewhere, I asked for it, I think there was something like, let me make sure I get it. I get it right. We're spending more than $1 million, but there is also,
Well, why are you doing that? There, no one's going to deny there's lots of rubbish being dumped. Someone here saying we had oil drums dumped out here at the Pihar Road since the Auckland City Council upped its money grabbing at the tip. They're saying it's you. We've had a massive increase of rubbish dumping on our beautiful roads. It's not rocket science, Phil. This is on you, Auckland Council.
No, I don't accept that as an excuse for people that dump their litter on the side of the road. Yes, when you take your stuff to the transfer station, somebody's got to pay to clear the rubbish up.
Yeah.
And you, as the person getting rid of the rubbish, have to be the person that meets the user pays cost on it. We're not going to put the cost right across on your rate money so that then the service at the transfer station, you don't pay anything. There's got to be a user pays element in it. And, you know, that's the rules. And if you don't want to follow the rules and you break the rules and you want to put the cost on all the other ratepayers, we want to hammer you on it. So,
in organic rubbish collection, bringing that back the way that it used to be, perhaps, maybe? But it's we're talking commercial dumping as well, aren't we?
I was a bit of a fan of the old inorganic. It looked bloody untidy.
You get a few bargains, did you? Hey, get in there late at night.
Well, occasionally you'd go
cruising
by
around.
You know, I do a bit of home handy work, you know, and I'd go by the site and
so the answer is yes. You did. You cruised through people's rubbish.
I thought, that's not rubbish. That's valuable timber. You know, I can use that.
Yeah, I was right then. Yeah.
But yeah, you were right, mate. they tell me that. On the figures that they've done, the inorganic, the change, you could, you know, what you got to do now is you
bring
up...
Someone dumped an upside-down Tongan up the road from us that time, remember?
Yeah.
Sarah?
Okay. Anyway, the inorganic collection, you can still get it, but you've just got to book it in and you've got to keep your waste inside your driveway. I know there are some problems with that, but on the data that they've got, they say there is not a direct connection between the end of the old curbside inorganic... as opposed to the ring and get your inorganic collected. That's still free, that the ring and get your inorganic collected.
Maybe people don't know that. That's a council thing, ring the council. Yeah, is it?
There's a time of the year when they're doing your area, but just give the council a ring, find out when it is. You can order and they
take the initiative, take the initiative.
The problem is, you know, we used to put out things, for example, aluminium doors with the glass in. The people that were the self-recyclers would come along, they'd smash the glass out of the aluminium door to take the aluminium, and they'd leave the glass scattered all over the road. So there were problems with the old system as well. No system's perfect. Every system's got a downside.
People take those old TVs and then they get all the bits out of them, and then you come there, drive down the bottom of your road and they'd have all the abused televisions in a pile.
All
the guts pulled out of them.
So those were problems. And you know, if you were visiting Auckland during the old inorganic collection, and the stuff had, people had put it out weeks before the collection was actually taking place, and the whole of the suburb that was the collection was taking place did look like a bit of a rubbish tip.
Because the government weren't admitting that there's any sort of poverty issues in the country at the time, there's all these poor people driving around in the middle of the night trying to get free stuff as well.
People were. You put something like an old bike out and within, you know, half an hour, the bike would be gone. Somebody had taken it and recycled it.
I was at my mum's house in the East Coast Bays, Phil, and so they come past and they go, what do you got there? And you go, this, and I go, anything else? Stick it up your ass.
One of the good things, I went out to the Waitakere transfer station last week as well.
Oh, lucky.
And what you can do there, if you've got stuff, you know, say you're replacing your washing machine. The old washing machine's still working, but you want a flasher one. If you go there, free of charge, you can drop that off. Somebody will clean it up a bit, and they'll sell it off really cheap to a low-income household. So, you know, we are living in this disposable society. You used to only throw things out when you know, when they really had it.
And also, if you're looking for a cheap rejigged, rejushed up washing machine, then that's the place to go. You can
go,
yeah,
go, go out to the Waitakere transfer station, and the there's a group out there that they largely work with volunteers, and you can get everything from good quality clothing, whiteware, electronic goods, speaker systems, furniture, and you know, this isn't junk. This is stuff they, you know, the
pre-loved, and then retooled. All right, yeah. Hey, thank you, Phil.
Okay, mate. Hey, good to talk to you and Sarah. All the best.
Speak to you again, and all of the BFM listeners as well. And yep, and we'll speak to you again this time next week.
Yeah, okay.
Bye bye.
Take care. Cheers.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.